is Radio Free Cybertron, hosted by Brian Kilby with J.D. Church, John DeLuna, XV, Amy Morgan, Peter Van, and Rob Clay. For the latest Transformers news, visit tformers.com.
Hey, this is Radio Free Cybertron, and I'm your host and friend. God, I gotta quit saying that, but it's like addictive. It's like I can't stop saying
it. Like 1999.
It is 1999. I wish it was. But hey, Brian Kilby, oh my God, there's so much stuff going on this week. It's like the Super Bowl of Transformers news.
Wasn't that supposed to be Toy Fair?
BotCon, but but yes. San Diego Comic-Con is like the best news all year. So here in a couple of minutes, we'll go to the tformers.com news desk, cover that, and probably come back with a few more things. We've had some updates, shall we say, since we recorded that yesterday. But man, so much crap is going on. We are actually going to have live coverage of the convention Saturday. So we're going to have your favorite RFC folk on the show, so no XV. And it's going to be, you know, pretty fantastic. So I'm looking forward to that. I may or may not actually be on, but I will be there in spirit. Hey, guys, how's it going?
If you're not going to be on, who's going to run the show?
JD.
I don't think he's going to like that.
It was his idea.
Do you know this yet?
Yes, it was his idea.
Oh, okay.
He's like, oh, we need to do this. I'm like, okay, I won't be there. He's like, that's okay. I secretly think he doesn't want me there. So
probably not. Yeah. I think that's why he stopped coming on RFC.
Yeah. But we enjoy doing
this. And why he said, Brian, you don't have to produce my show anymore.
Yeah. I did enjoy doing the tformers.com news desk last week with him, and I'm very sorry, Peter. I am so very sorry.
Fired, Brian.
But yeah, so XV, Rob Clay, and Peter Van are here with me this week. Amy is
at Comic-Con.
She's at Comic-Con. Yeah.
No wonder she didn't upload like news around Regeneration 81, which I read. I did read, so I'll talk about that here in a little while.
Sadly, I don't have a comic book store nearby, so I haven't been able to get a copy yet.
Yeah, spoilers. The book, you know, it was like a vast predatory bird or something. Yeah.
It never ends.
It never ends. It wasn't bad. I mean, but it's Furman, so.
It didn't give you the worst case of indigestion you've ever had?
No. It's, yeah. But, okay, let's go ahead and jump to the tformers.com news desk. For those watching live, we'll go ahead and jump to that. Normally, we haven't been doing that, but I'm feeling sort of jumpy this week. So after that, we'll come back and give you a few more updates. This week, we also have Transformers Rewind, and it's really a fascinating discussion of Wardon. Really love that episode. XV and I were talking last night. If the movie hadn't arisen, I question whether or not season two, if it had continued, if it might have ended up not sucking. So decide for yourself, find your own fate. We'll be back right after this.
Hello, and this is the tformers.com news desk for the week of July 12th, 2012. That's a lot of twos. This is where we run down the biggest news of the week. I'm Peter Van.
And I'm J.D. Church.
Let's go to the news. The big news, of course, is that San Diego Comic-Con begins today. Well, tomorrow, Thursday. And it officially starts on Thursday. And we went to preview night. Well, not me specifically because I'm here. But the rest of the, you know, T-Formers went to preview night. And we got some highlights, including the Thundertron from Transformers Prime, as well as the Creo, Creon microchangers and microchanger combiners.
Whew.
So Thundertron is out in October and will be $20. We don't know how many Creon microchangers will be individually packaged when the first preview wave comes out in August, because MTV and Hasbro earlier this week said 6 figures, but Big Bad Toy Store and Entertainment Earth report 12 figures. But regardless, combiners include Bruticus, So it includes Bruticus, as you can see over here.
Go.
And it's not working. Okay, cool. Bruticus. As well as Predicus. Yes, it's Predicus.
It's Predicus?
Yes, it's Predicus.
Okay.
That's on the plaque at Comic-Con is Predicus. And Devastator and Superior.
Yay!
So you should be...
Once.
Yeah.
I'll take them all.
Yeah, absolutely. So they will... Those will be out January 1st. That's the tentative date. And they, the combiner sets will be four figures at $10.99 each, and each individual Creon figure will be for $2.99, and those include a whole crap ton, which you can read on tformers.com and will be linked below, including Scorponok, Galvatron, Waspinator, and Bludgeon.
And these are really nifty because, you know, looking through, I mean, there's some closer-up images in particular of the Sunstorm, Galvatron, and Waspinator. And really what they've done is they've used some of the existing head helmets. So, for example, for Galvatron, it has Megatron's gun and Sentinel Prime's helmet. Waspinator has the Jazz helmet. And so they're using existing parts to sort of make them, and they're giving them, you know, transformations as well. The transformations are a bit rough, but they look really good, and it's a nifty, you know, use of, you know, using stuff that they already have basically to get these, you know, extra figures, extra forms, and I wants them all of them,
all
mine.
Yes, all of them.
Mine. Yes.
So okay. Well, the next one that you may want is Transformers Generation Fall of Cybertron G2 Bruticus.
Actually, I already have that. Or I have it ordered.
You have it ordered. Okay.
I ordered it like first day it popped up on Amazon. I was like, woo, there. And I ordered it, and then it disappeared for a few days. Now it's back, so you can order it again.
Well, you got lucky because the came back up. You can't order it yet. It still says unavailable. But originally, it was for all five figures was $59.99, which is kind of ridiculous. For general retail, it is $14.99, so it's about $74.95, something like that. If my math is correct, I don't know if it's true. But so the page was pulled, and then you came back, and you get to see brand new G2 decos with the G2 symbols. And the product page does not provide a release date, but previous reports indicate that it will be out in October.
Sweet. It looks nice. I mean, I like the color scheme on the individual figures and everything. The G2 logo and everything looks really nice. I mean, this is a great set. I mean, this is really, essentially, it's better than, like I said, retail price. And it is orderable right now. I mean, it looks to be available, so you can actually order it from Amazon or Segway.
Or you can order the Jetwing Optimus Prime, which will get an Amazon exclusive deco. Unlike the Takara Tomy version, the guns and stuff will be painted to match the actual character's color scheme. And actually the center of the gun was done so well that it actually appears to have translucent plastic versus...
Yeah, that Photoshop job is great. I don't know if the figure is going to actually... I don't know if... Is that Photoshop or is that the actual figure that we've seen? That's always... It's always so hard to tell now, you know?
Yeah, I actually don't know. I actually have no idea. It doesn't really look as glossy as Photoshop, so maybe not.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. Who can tell these days? Who can tell?
Yes.
But if it looks anywhere close to that, I mean, it looks really good. I like how they've sort of integrated the flame job with it. But I was going to say on the G2 that it looks like this is going to be a shared exclusive with Big Bad Toy Store. And they're going to be getting pre-orders for that, I guess, When did they say? Well, basically, if you send them an email to bruticus@bigbadtoystore.com, you'll get an email from them. I think they said an hour before the page goes up. I think it was the way I read that.
Really?
Yeah. And then it would be available for pre-order on their site. But I'm assuming that they're not going to be putting their orders up until the figure is available. So, yeah, email bruticus@bigbadtoystore.com, and then in September, when it's, you'll get a link an hour before it's published. So, I don't know. I'm wondering if by this wording, that means the figure is going to be available in September. No, it says pre-order starts September 10th. There you go. Pre-order starts September the 10th for Big Bad Toy Store. You send an email to bruticus@bigbadtoystore. They send you an email on the 10th, an hour before the actual link goes up.
My question is...
Or they'll send you the link an hour before it goes up.
Is that just Big Bad Toy Store being able to grab some extra, like, figures? Or does it... I mean, did they say that it's a shirt exclusive?
The ad logo says shared exclusive. So I'm assuming they probably have some sort of distributor partnership through Amazon that they're getting to do that with. And if it's I'm wondering if they're doing if and that would kind of fit with that October. If it's pre-order for September 10th, you know,
yeah,
pre-order going up then, I would assume that means that you know, the figures probably is coming out in October. That would sound about right. But I don't know what that means as far as price, you know, because the pre-order is already up on Amazon.
Well, not anymore.
So
it went away.
It's there now. You can I navigated to it just a minute ago.
Okay.
Yep.
Because it was unavailable a little earlier today. So
Let me send you the link real quick since we're, you know, doing this and see if you can navigate to it.
Maybe it's cached.
I don't know. I mean,
how much
I didn't
is
have
cached.
I don't know.
I don't trust it. But anyway,
okay.
If you look on the
Skype, so
currently on the screen is the Big Bad Toy Store shared exclusive page. So they definitely is. Pricing will be announced at that time. So interesting, very interesting. This is
that's
a shared exclusive. So that's definitely an interesting idea. Don't see that very often. And there it goes. Okay, so it is not. So the page that you were looking at was not cached.
Cool.
It is $59.99, so that is a very good price, a previous price, and it will be in stock November 15th. So Big Bad Toy Store will be taking pre-orders beginning September 10th, and most likely it will ship around the same time as Amazon. For all you know, Amazon might be storing all of this in their warehouse and then drop shipping it for Big Bad Toy Store.
Could be.
Which is not a bad thing at all, because nobody knows what drop shipping is anyway. Nobody really cares.
Bad thing is, I'm going to be impatient and already have probably the shelf available figure.
Yeah.
By the time I get this, because I'll probably end up buying the other figures
right,
anyway.
Right. Well, the original the regular release will be out in September. This will be out in November. And
yeah.
The G1 Brute the game stock the game accurate colors are out tomorrow. You can buy them tomorrow. At San Diego Comic Con. So. Very cool. Alright, well, finally, we can discuss that Transformers Fall of Cybertron, All Gamers Can Rejoice, will be out a week early.
Yay!
Instead of August 28th, August 21st, they say that they have hurt the fans. The fans wanted it earlier. We want it before school starts! So they got it. Yeah, that's about it. The UK website play.com announced a pre-order bonus of Vortex. So you'll be able to use him as a multiplayer, only in the multiplayer section. Because you can play Vortex in the single player, but you can play as Vortex in the as a pre-order bonus right on the day that the game comes out. GameStop in the United States, meanwhile, is offering the G1 Retro Pack, which is Optimus Prime and Megatron together in their G1 forms, and Amazon is offering How Quaint the G2 Bootykiss Skin. Conspiracy.
Brilliant. Yep. Yes, brilliant. It looks good. I saw some pictures from Comic-Con of some of like the storyboards and images and stuff. I hope there's more figures coming down the pipe, because that the shrapnel for that actually looked really cool, and I'm a big shrapnel fan, so come on, shrapnel. Let's hope.
All right, well, that is it. That about wraps it up for this week on the TFormers.com News Desk. I'm Peter Van.
And I'm J.D. Church.
And we'll see you next time.
Woohoo! National League is the best.
Yes, National League is the... Wait, no, it's not.
What?
J.D. said National League is the best.
Maybe. It is, if you saw Tuesday.
I actually don't watch baseball. Not anymore.
It was complete and utter.
How bad was it?
8-0.
The buzz band is the echo right now.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah, I'll fix that. Okay, so, man, lots and lots of stuff going on beyond even what you guys were able to capture there. Where do we start? What do you guys want to talk about first?
Oh, I know. The Big Bad Toy Store exclusive Dark Energon Prime figures.
Yes. That is the biggest news of the day.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. How about, I don't know, the G2 Bruticus box?
That's a gorgeous box.
Nobody
cared
about
that.
You
say so.
That sucks.
Man, I love that so bad.
Okay, so, little facts about the Bruticus Amazon set box. They actually got the package artist from G2 to come back and do the art for this set.
Wow.
So, it's as accurate as you will ever get to classic G2 packaging, right down to the artist. And the Hasbro logo, accurate to the time period.
Looking for it. Where is the Hasbro?
I think it will be on one of the back panel shots.
Can't tell. I know that Transformers wasn't Kenner, but it would be nice to have a
Kenner.
Yeah,
it wasn't Kenner until Beast Wars.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah. Pretty cool, though. So, I can't wait to get that. November can't get here soon enough.
It really can't, and besides, even if it didn't have the awesome packaging, you know, that's still the best deal you can ask for on this set of toys.
Yeah. It was, when that pre-order came back up, Triplet jumped on it, even though he'd already pre-ordered the retail version for $100. He had to have he wanted both, so can't blame him. God,
I don't want the retail one anymore.
If I'm able to snag the SDCC version next week, I will probably have three versions of that toy.
And then does that count Ruination?
Which is...
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's only four. That will be four.
Which is like half the number of versions that I have of G1 Bruticus. So.
Okay. Did you ever finish rebuilding your original G2 Bruticus?
Oh, yeah. He's done.
So that'll be a nice companion piece.
He's way up there on the top shelf.
I can't see from here.
Well, it's not in frame, but.
That's why I can't see from here. Also, I can't see your video on the Skype call.
Yeah, I'm on. That's true. I need to change that. I'm actually one piece away from G2 Superion. I actually thought that I'd finished that, but I didn't. So,
Who cares?
Yeah, I mean, Superion kind of sucks, except when he's in Creo form.
Yes.
Oh, man, let me pull that up.
So Hasbro figured out that the only thing people care about with Creo is the Creons.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't even mentioned the Creons yet, and that was the first news that popped up, and I thought it was the best thing ever. Thought it was the best thing ever. but look at that. So we have Superion. That actually will probably be the first Superion that doesn't suck, which is fantastic. I love that. Let's see here. We have
Predaking.
Yes, we have Predaking.
Predakiss.
Is it Predaking? Predacus players.
Predacus. Predacus. Get it right.
Kids should play Predacons. Interesting.
Yeah, let me see here. What else do we
have? Now you can add bestiality to your little girls.
Oh my.
Oh god. Bludgeon. Bludgeon looks great. Really pleased with that. JD, I don't think, cares much for Arachnid.
Well, better than the deluxe one.
Yeah. The Devastator looks pretty awesome. God, this is just all so great. I don't see pictures from the Hasbro panel from today, but we also got a Bruticus. Imagine that.
Micro Creon Bruticus was along with Predaking one of the ones in the MTV pictures.
Ah, yes, okay. Yeah. I have that up.
And they were also on display later.
They were in the preview night thing at Comic-Con, I think.
Yes, they were.
I think everyone... Go ahead.
And Bruticus was shown today as well, so during Comic-Con, during the panel report.
Yeah, I think everybody knows that I really love Galvatron, but I don't know. I don't know if Galvatron... I mean, he's like all the others. He kind of lays down. But the robot mode, it's the robot mode that really doesn't do anything for me. I don't know. Just.
Yeah, I'm not happy with that helmet choice.
Yeah, the likeness just isn't there.
Yeah.
So somebody had mentioned earlier that Ultra Magnus works better than Optimus, and darn right it does.
It's the sword.
Yeah, that.
It is the sword.
That looks great. Let's see here. What's next? Do we want to start with the highlights, or do we want to build to a couple of the big announcements?
How about the Big Bad Toy Store exclusive Dark Energon Prime figure?
that's great. You know, those will probably end up being the most expensive on the secondary market.
Well, I mean, they would have to because nobody's going to buy them.
Yeah.
God.
Well, I mean, okay. Just from an objective standpoint, it's cool Big Bad Toy Store is getting more exclusive stuff from Hasbro. Would maybe not be my first choice of the exclusive stuff to get, but whatever.
Yeah. But, I mean, this shows that, you know, Big Bad Toy Store is getting, you know, they're getting pretty legit now, you know, they're getting their own.
Do they still have Battle Unicorn?
No, actually, I believe they did finally sell all of those a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
After they marked them down to about $3.
I have to say, that was the
I think they still have C-Cons, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably. I think that the Battle Unicorn thing is one of the coolest things that any retailer, like a real, you know, indie retailer, has ever done. Battle Unicorn is really hard to find, so they acquired enough stock. They purchased enough so that Hasbro would do another run. It's just it was way more than, you know, the demand.
They could ever move.
Yeah. But,
it almost literally took 10 years for them to move all of them.
That's like them getting, you know, like Windcharger made into a, you know, another run. Or like Rumble and Frenzy from United.
Yeah.
So, which apparently isn't that hard to come by now, but I'm not going to drop $70 on them.
For it.
Yeah. but yeah, so. The Masterpiece Thundercracker we had mentioned a few weeks ago in the
which
news.
Will be the MP11 revision.
It is the MP11 mold. So now, in Japan, has MP11 been repainted as Thundercracker yet?
No, so far it's only been Starscream and Sunstorm.
So that's interesting that we are getting that first. Not that the stuff is, you know, old
yeah,
stock.
It's not a contest, Kilby.
But it's really nice looking.
This is you.
Yeah, it's nice looking. I want it. I have to admit that I probably will pick that up. And because this is coming out, I don't really need the actual MP11 Starscream, which I have sort of held off on.
Yeah, that's true.
With the hopes that I would finally get it. I was kind of iffy with Optimus MP10. Because I wanted it so bad, but I gambled that it would actually I didn't gamble. I It was $50 more than I was willing to pay for it at BotCon. Then, of course, the news broke, and
you came close a couple times.
I did. I really did.
That would have been so great.
Oh,
if you would have bought that.
Can you just imagine
a day before the or an hour before the Hasbro panel?
You know what the funny thing is, though? That happened to a lot of people. You saw a lot of people going into the convent, like into the hall for Hasbro with the MP10.
But no,
and then everybody was like, afterwards, they were looking at the case. They're like, I just bought you.
But nobody really. There weren't really any outbursts. If I had done that, there would have been an outburst.
I would have been escorted out.
You would have been like dragged out.
Yeah.
He would have thrown himself at the table.
But
I'll kill you, Archer.
I'll
get you for this.
I'm really, really excited about this. Do we know anything? Do we have a retail price or anything on it?
No.
$80.
I don't even think they announced a price for Prime yet.
We don't even have a date for Prime yet.
No. Actually, all the exclusives so far, I mean, Amazon, right? Amazon's getting Jetwing Prime that comes out in November. G2 Bruticus that comes out in November as well.
And are you getting that really gaudy Ultimate Optimus Prime or whatever it was?
The Year of the Dragon. Yeah. Don't insult the Chinese, okay?
Yeah.
Don't do it.
I'm not insulting the Chinese. I'm insulting the gaudy colors.
So, we're also...
Well, it's a dragon. Leave me alone. Anyway.
First edition is finally coming out. We already got a couple.
Whatever.
Yeah, we're back. Starscream. I already have Starscream in RC. What else came out originally? Was Bumblebee.
Okay. And so, the original first edition line in North America, between the U.S. and Canada, there was Starscream, RC, Bumblebee, Cliffjumper, and then for Voyagers, there was Optimus and Bulkhead, and then two entertainment packs. So, what we're getting reissued is RC and Starscream, and then we're getting the Viacon, which was never released in North America,
yes,
and Terracon Cliffjumper, which will be different from the Comic-Con version, but that also had been unreleased in North America.
Comic-Con version is not first edition.
It is first edition, but it's got new additional paint apps
and
the Energon crystal.
Yeah.
And that
awesome
crazy
box.
And the packaging.
The packaging.
Okay. So if I'm not able to snag that, I can live with it because...
I'm pretty sure, especially since this has been announced now, I'm pretty sure you'll be able to get
Realistically,
toy shop.
Even if it hadn't, I mean, he was the one destined to not sell out.
Matrix Optimus before him.
Yeah, because it doesn't appeal to the contingent of people that are going to Comic-Con, which are people that want, you know, G1-inspired stuff, and it's not... Yeah, I mean, no offense to those people, but, you know.
And then they're also going to reissue Voyager, Optimus, and Bulkhead, and the first entertainment pack.
And the entertainment pack included?
The Deluxe Prime and Megatron molds and the three kids. Yes. And this is all going to be Toys R Us exclusive.
Yes.
Yes.
In November.
Yes. But that is pretty cool that we're getting that.
Speaking of Toys R Us exclusives.
Yes.
All of those Asian generations formerly exclusives will now be available at Toys R Us.
Hmm.
So Swerve, Wheelie, Springer, Cliffjumper with hilarious mismatched head, all the Scouts, the Legend toys, and the Voyagers, they will all be available as Toys R Us exclusives starting in the fall.
I'm totally excited to get my own Hot Shot. Or Hot Spot. Is it going to be Hot Spot or Hot Shot?
Hot Zone.
Spot, I see. I mean, well, he's Hot Spot, G1 character, but they have the name Hot Shot, so.
But they never applied it to that character. When they did the Titanium a few years ago and had to use a different name, they called him Hot Zone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot about Hot Zone.
we'll see what happens with it. You know, the names come and go. You know, when it was looking like I would have to buy either a full set or a case to get the one that I wanted, I was like, well, okay, I guess I could put up with having the other deluxes, but now, no, I'm just going to buy a Wheelie.
Yeah. Do we have a good shot of Springer's head yet? I think...
No.
His head is basically going to be what makes me decide whether or not I'm buying that toy.
The problem with Springer is just that Tomahawk's robot mode is too...
kibbly.
That's not really the word I want to use, but it's not, like, solid enough.
Gangly.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah. It's not Springer.
Spindly? Yeah.
You know, you can put a Springer head on it, but it's still not Springer.
It's kind of like putting Captain America's head on the 98-pound guy's body in the movie. It just
does. Oh, like putting Grunt's head on
the movie's credit, they did it really well.
Yes.
Oh, right. Yeah. Actually, that was the one thing I did not see in the slides from Comic-Con with the Asian stuff. They showed Hotspot and Megatron and Power Dive. They didn't show Brawn.
Yeah.
Interesting that.
Yeah. I'm sure he will be missed.
Yeah.
I guess since Toys R Us is already getting that mold as an exclusive in basically the same colors, it's like, yeah, no thanks. No thanks.
Mm-hmm. You know, speaking of...
We'll keep the one with the rational head.
Yeah. Speaking of the head thing, it's kind of funny that Cliffjumper is still hideous. It looks like he's Hotspot. I'm trying to zoom into this picture, and it looks like he is going to be Hotspot.
So that's
fantastic.
Yeah, I might. I will almost certainly get Power Dive for the G2 reference. I might get Hotspot too, since I don't have to pay import costs.
Yeah, but yes, we. I mean, they said, yeah, we caught it at the panel, so well.
So. The thing that surprised me the most, and it really shouldn't have. But considering that, I mean, there's already two sets of repaints for this toy, we're getting a third repaint of Bruticus, which is going to be Impactor, Twin Twist, Top Spin, and Roadbuster. And I guess also... what?
And Whirl.
Whirl.
Yeah, we're getting a set of Wreckers toys, finally, and they combine into Ruination.
Into Ruifrickination. That's the best reuse of the name that they could have possibly gone with. I don't really know. So, okay, had that... I don't know what the crowd reaction to that was. Had that been at BotCon, the crowd would have went flipping crazy. Because it's just a great name for that set.
I was following along the live coverage on Twitter, and it seemed like the reaction the people there were reporting was positive over the Wreckers.
Yeah. I'm actually saying over Ruination, just the name. I don't know how many people out there remember Ruination. I mean...
Well, if they saw Robot... if they saw Red...
But Red wasn't that popular a series. I mean...
And that was 10 years ago.
I mean, I don't... The 10 years ago isn't the big isn't the big deal. I think that's actually...
It would be is, though, because that show has not had any re-airing or anything.
Yeah, maybe. I think it would be...
You know, there's DVDs in England, but over here, I mean, there's basically nothing from that since it went off the air.
There's YouTube.
That's not the same, though.
I don't know. I don't think a lot of people use YouTube, so...
Yeah, nobody uses YouTube.
No, it's not very popular. I don't think it's going to make it
I bet more people watch Red on YouTube than bought the DVDs in the UK.
Oh, probably, but that's still not the same as the average person having any recognition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But man.
But Ruination is like the greatest combiner name Hasbro's ever come up with.
Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely.
Well, I don't know. Abominus is pretty awesome, too.
Abominus is great. Ruination is marginally better. I have to say, right beside Ruination, I would include Monstructor.
Yes, Monstructor is an awesome name for, like, half the wrong reasons, but it's an awesome name.
I love Monstructor.
But you have to make allowances for that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But Ruination, that is just fantastic. We're also, of course, getting the cassettes or the data discs, and we got...
Oh, okay, there's Blaster.
Yeah, Blaster. See the next photo. Yeah, so Blaster, of course, the second repaint of the Soundwave.
And remold.
Yeah, the head's been remolded. Anything else?
And the chest door is different, too.
Oh, yeah, it has been. And his gun is reminiscent of Soundwave. I mean, the Blaster's gun, so...
With the remold and the different paint job, it works.
Yeah, I'm not complaining. I mean, he certainly looks better than G1 Blaster.
Well, G1 Blaster looked like a big red building.
G1 Blaster being one of the worst toys I've ever bought. but yeah, so let's see. Man, there's so much other stuff. I want to go back to the Creon before we go to Grimlock, because I do want to mention Grimlock.
Of course, we have to mention Grimlock.
I want to go back to the Creon stuff, because as you guys pointed out, there was coverage from MTV. Which I thought was a little interesting that they used MTV as the exclusive. It's
been happening a lot lately with like sites that don't really cover that kind of stuff anymore.
It's not the first time that MTV has even been used for that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Here's some shots. We have shots of some of the single packed figures from. The set, and they are going to be blind packed. I love and hate that at the same time.
Yeah, how many Walmarts did we hit for you to look for the Lego blind packed minifigures on the way back from BotCon?
Lots. And the one that had the Walmart that had the new ones was the Walmart that smelled like fart.
Yes, it was the one where the whole Walmart smelled like fart.
Yeah. I have to say, I really, 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 really do not like Waspinator.
Waspinator
is a little awkward.
Waspinator needs more paint, just for a start.
Well, I mean, okay, so the thing I love about Lego minifigs is, well, except for, they are new characters, but they get across so much personality in so little space. Hasbro hasn't quite got there with the Creons yet, but I still forgive them because Creons are still great. But
and the difference there too is that with Lego minifigures there is 40 years worth of parts that they can mix and match in to make them all distinct and have personality. Creons are 2 years old. Hasbro does not have that backlog of accessories to mix and match into the figures. If Creons are able to continue for several more years, it's going to get better and better every time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Looking
forward to more helmet molds specifically, because Galvatron and Waspinator both have a helmet problem as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Okay, here's the big shots from SDCC of the Creon combiners. Here we have Bruticus. And Bruticus looks great. In fact, why can the individual parts of Bruticus look great and, like, the characters that I really love, like Waspinator and Megatron, Galvatron, why do they look like butt?
Well, Waspinator is a completely different sort of design. More curved and bulbous. And Galvatron's also a lot different than typical G1 character, because the Season 3 designs were all over the place. The blocky stuff fits into the Creons a lot better than the more varied designs that came later.
Yeah, they also do a great job with Predaking or Predicus.
Predicus.
Yeah, they look great. it should be Predicate. I would like that. that looks great. Devastator looks great. Superion, like I said, I'm really pleased with that. Let's see here. What else do we have? Oh, yeah. Here's a lot of the others, though, look great. Scorponok, G1 Scorponok, that was surprising. And I think Scorponok looks pretty fantastic. Let's see here.
Scorponok looks like they tried really hard.
Yes. Springer looks great. I think Springer looks fantastic. Inferno looks fantastic. Dirge is...
Warpath.
Yes, Warpath. Very surprising. Warpath has been back in a big way. They've done a lot with that character, toy-wise.
I'm just glad they didn't lose the copyright to that.
Well, that may be the reason.
Yeah. Probably.
They're like, oh my god, we got it, let's go.
Warpath.
And probably on the same token, the remold of Fall of Cybertron Shockwave that was supposed to be Firefly when we were at BotCon, they've renamed that Air Raid probably to hold on to that name instead.
They're not going to lose
Firefly.
Wait,
that's a different toy. Fire Blast was supposed to be the Shockwave.
Shock Blast was the name they were using for Shockwave. when they didn't have
it. It's Shockwave for Fall of Cybertron, and then they're remolding it. It was going to be Fireflight, but now it's Air Raid.
Fireflight. I'm sorry. What was it? Was it Action Master that used the same name? Using the name Firefly when they were trying to keep G.I. Joe names trademarks back in the day. There used to be a lot of crossover because, of course, they released fewer and fewer G.I. Joe figures, so they reused a lot of the names in Transformers to retain the trademarks. So, man, let's see here. Anything else as far as Creo? I'm really excited and saddened that they are blind packed. I love blind pack stuff, but I hate getting like my fifth Black Knight in a row.
Like, and the blind pack stuff seems to be working well, not just for Lego, but for the Mega Bloks brand. You know, they're doing that with their Halo figures. They're doing it with the Power Rangers minifigures they have.
They did it with the Marvel figures while they had the Marvel license.
But yeah. But I mean, it just seems to be the way to make it work.
The Marvel figures weren't that great, but it works better for Halo, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think Hasbro's been doing it with My Little Pony as well. I think I've seen those around, too. So.
Really?
Yeah, I've heard of that.
What, My Little Pony, like, minifigures?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I could buy some My Little Pony, maybe.
Oh, they're not like they're not like Lego minifigures though. They're not that style, right?
They're just little ponies.
I want to be cool like all the other guys out there that buy My Little Pony. Like,
you want to be a brony, Brian?
I could be a brony like John DeLancey. Or not. Okay, so this is something that we all predicted would come about, and we finally got photos of it. Voyager Grimlock. we talked about in pre-show that he's reminiscent of animated Grimlock, but part of me thinks that he's reminiscent of Pretender Grimlock a little bit as well. At least in Dino Mode, because of the sort of stubby, foreshortened sort of tail. Maybe that's because the tail's been mistransformed. But he's just... I don't know. It's still not G1-ish, which I guess they're not going for. They're probably going for more Fall of Cybertron.
Mm-hmm.
But he's more G1-ish than the classics Grimlock was.
Oh, yeah.
What's interesting about this is that it's going to have internal light-up features.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Which I guess is not that much of a stretch since, the Prime Voyagers are coming with external gear that has lights in it. But, I mean, it feels like a big leap to have that be an internal thing ever since we lost, like, sound packs in Voyagers. You know, the electronics in Voyagers has been hard to get for a long time.
I missed that stuff.
But yeah, in dinosaur mode, his mouth lights up, and then his chest lights up in robot mode.
Hmm.
Yeah, click into the gallery, Brian. It's in there.
Okay, let me go back.
Well, nice to see they're making a toy that takes advantage of the kind of...
Oh, you've added photos, too.
Lighting, you know, Cybertron games have.
Yeah. No, that's a really good point, too. And, I mean, it's the first one to really do that. I don't think Soundwave or Blaster are going to have that functionality, probably because that part of the budget was compromised for the data disk deploying gimmick.
Which I am totally fine with.
Yeah, exactly.
I just
wonder what they're going to recolor Grimlock into, because, you know, doing all that with that mold, they're not going to leave it alone once.
No.
Oh, man. Can we get another overkill? Probably not.
Except, I'm not sure I really want another overkill.
It doesn't really fit. I mean, overkill, the deluxe version being repainted in overkill didn't quite fit. But, I mean, it's another overkill, so I can't complain.
I don't know. Maybe they could do like a shared exclusive deal like they are with the Combaticons and make a G2 Grimlock out of it.
Oh.
You know, blue.
Hmm.
Let's see, did Grimlock come in any other colors in G2?
Showed up sometimes in green.
There was a turquoise. I don't remember.
Yeah, turquoise.
I know that Snarl and Slag came in red and green because I've got them both.
Yeah.
But
I think Grimlock was gray, turquoise, and like deep blue.
Yeah. That would be fantastic. Oh man, that would be fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they could possibly do a Dinobot if they.
It seems like a lot. It really seems like stretching it to do that. Maybe they could recolor a Swoop.
It's also possible since I saw on Twitter earlier that apparently there will be playable Dinobots in the multiplayer for Fall of Cybertron. It's possible there will be new Dinobot characters introduced in the game somewhere that this may be reusable for. It's hard to say.
I mean, the Dinobots aren't like it's kind of weird because what they're doing for Fall of Cybertron game for the multiplayer customization is that they're giving the body parts, like mm-hmm. they're saying you could use, you know, Snarl's head with Ultra Magnus's body or something, which is like going to be bizarre.
Okay.
Yay. So it's just going to be character creation. So it's really just a skin. It won't change. Most likely, the Dinobots will probably be part of like the Titan part, like the class or whatever, the heavy
class.
It's
Franken Gundam, the Transformer edition.
Yeah.
Melvar in the chat is suggesting Deathsaurus for a Grimlock recolor.
Get throw some wings on him.
Yeah.
I would totally buy that, actually.
Yeah, I think that would work.
Yeah. Not bad. Yeah, pretty cool. Let's see here. Any other SDCC news that I can't think of anything that I really want to talk about, except for maybe those Dark Energon exclusives from Big Bad Toy Store. I was looking at them. They're not awful.
No, they're not awful.
They're not awful. I was actually.
They also revealed next year's line of bot shots, or at least the redesigns around it. Bigger figures, different play patterns. I think there's going to be a little bit more articulation in the figures, too.
I kind of like them as is, but I guess
flop around.
And they're releasing a launcher trailer for the existing Starscream. So now you can have a jet carrying a trailer.
Sweet.
I guess, I mean, we kind of saw him already, but what do you guys think of Thunderdrop?
Eh. I mean, it's about what I thought before. Here's the Dark Energon deluxe figures. I mean, we have to get a Bumblebee in there.
Well, naturally.
You know, a Starscream.
We get Bumblebee so rarely nowadays.
Yeah,
you know, it's nice to see one shoehorned in somewhere.
Starscream is in Skywarp colors. I'm assuming that's Skywarp. I can't tell by the name. So.
Well, the name tag is still Starscream.
Let's see here. Wheeljack looks pretty good. Can't complain. Knockout looks okay.
Knockout's kind of wacky, actually.
I like the look of Megatron.
Yeah, Megatron looks good. It's kind of in the Shadow Command vein still.
Yeah, so that's not bad.
It's fitting for, you know, Dark Energon.
Yeah.
So
and Optimus is sure Optimus.
Yeah. So, Thundertron, you know, I didn't really, when we saw Thundertron at BotCon, I just wasn't that, you know.
Yeah, but you didn't see him for very long, did you? I mean, you saw the prototype.
I saw the frame. Who actually got the chance to look at it up close?
That was XD. But was it colored, the one that you saw?
Yeah, it was in plastic colored. I have a picture of it.
Oh, yeah. I forgot if it was colored or not.
I don't know. It's very Cybertron to me.
It is. It looks like.
Might be
it doesn't look like anything so much as a combination between Cybertron Snarl and Leo Breaker.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
But it looks like the best parts of the two of them is the thing.
Yeah, I could see it being like a cross between something like late Cybertron and then maybe like early Voyager Beast Wars. Like when before they quite had it down, you know, maybe like something on the Baboom scale. Not that it looks like Kaboom, comparable to that vintage. But yeah, I mean, it looks okay, I guess. But it's definitely more Cybertron than anything else.
I'll get one. It's interesting.
You know, I know people love. Yeah. I know people love Cybertron.
It's interesting,
and
it has a peg leg.
That I like peg legs. I think McFeely had said when we had said that Armada was the best line of the last decade, in the decade special, that he liked Cybertron better. I totally don't. Cybertron is not my favorite of the Unicron show. Actually, Cybertron would be my least favorite.
Well, you know, the only difference between Cybertron and Armada is that Armada had more mini-cons. Otherwise, it's functionally the same toy line.
Let's see here. Peter has just posted something.
Huh?
In the chat.
Did I post?
No.
Oh, that was a while ago.
I did that, like, 45 minutes ago.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Is it 8:52? That is half an hour ago.
I like to look at Swindle. Man, I'm really pleased with the combiners in general. Sorry, people watching live, I'm just taking a further look at Bruticus. They look great, and the thing is, they look like better combiners than the Legends Devastator that we got a couple years ago, which everybody was totally enthralled with, but that was in comparison to, like, the $100 Devastator that came out from Revenge of the Fallen.
Oh, yeah.
I'm assuming that these are going to be...
I forgot that even existed.
Yeah, I'm assuming that this is going to be a little smaller than that, but, you know, I was actually digging through... People watching live, you can see that my home no longer looks like an episode of Hoarders, for the most part. I was going through my... boxes are gone. I was going through some of my stuff, and I pulled out Devastator. I'm like, what the heck is this? I'm like, why did I buy this? Because it was $30 as opposed to importing it for like $70, which is basically the reason. Yeah, I'm totally excited about these. So if they are $4 each, are the micro change combiners going to be blind packed as well, I'm assuming? Or are they?
I thought those were coming in sets, actually.
Yeah, I think they're like box sets for $10 or $12.
Okay. What is Hasbro, not Takara? If it was Takara, they would have definitely have been blind packed in the whole line. Yeah.
Wait, little boxes.
Wait, I'm sorry. What, you mean the micro changer combiners?
Yeah.
They'll be $11.
Oh, dude, I'm on that.
Yeah, that's great.
The other ones, I believe the other ones will be blind packed. I believe the $3 individual ones will be blind
packed. I'm fine with that. But I mean, if these are in a set for $11, there's no way I'm not getting these. Maybe multiples.
Well, if they're blind packed, you're obviously going to get multiples of those.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Actually, there are people on eBay, like with the Lego minifigs, who will buy them, carefully cut them open, and then resell them. And, you know, if you buy, like the ones you're missing from the set, so you get 7 or 8 of them, it's still like you get the surprise of opening them up and, discovering which one it is. But you have the safety of knowing that you're not going to get duplicates. I really like that. But I may be that person for these. I could do that. That could be my new business.
Great.
Yeah, but I guess that's it as far as SDCC.
So far.
Yeah. So we'll have more news on, I guess, Saturday when we're back for the live show. That's if you're watching live or if you catch the show prior to then. If not, if you're watching this like in October 2013, go back to tfradio.net and search for our SDCC 2012 coverage. It'll still be fresh. Maybe not. So we're going to go ahead and jump to Transformers Rewind for this week, which is Wardon. Really hate that I wasn't on this session, but I was in Atlanta, or I was in Georgia when this happened. Couldn't help it. But XV and company did a great job with this. We're actually recording our next batch of Rewind this next weekend. And City of Steel. City of Steel. I am on that, and I am stoked. Peter
looks constipated again.
No, it just sounds like you're dying over there. That's all you're like.
Dude, I love City of Steel. That's like the best episode. It's the best worst episode of Transformers ever.
It was more like you were like talking about it, and then you just like, and then you kept going, and it's like as if nothing happened.
I have allergies. I can't help it. They are killing me right now. But City of Steel, it's my favorite bad episode. I like it better than Carnage in C Minor. So, but we're going to go ahead and jump to Wardon, and we'll be back right after this.
Radio Free Cybertron.
Transformers.
Rewind.
This week on Transformers Rewind, it's Wardon.
I'm Orion Pax.
I'm Silverbolt.
And I'm Slingshot.
I'm Fireflight. And that's Air Raid and Skydive.
The aerial bots think the Seekers are just the best thing ever, and they want to be friends.
There's Thundercracker!
Boy, can that guy ever maneuver!
There's only one way to get those aerial bots off our tails, and that's to dump the jumps!
The hostages! We gotta save them!
Boy, did you see how fast that Starscream took off?
Man, those guys are incredible!
You talk about those Decepticons as if you admire them, Slingshot.
They're well-built, resourceful,
and they're superior to humans in just about every way.
While investigating strange activity on Cybertron with the other Autobots, the Aerialbots get their chance to chat with Starscream and friends.
Wait! Hold it! We don't want to fight!
What are you guys doing?
We just want to talk for a minute!
Huh? Are those guys crazy?
Crazy, or even dumber than I suspected!
But it's a trap, and the Decepticons use their new time machine to trap the stupid airplane jerks 9 million years in the past.
What is this place? Obviously, it's Cybertron.
In the past.
Before the war.
Before the Decepticons wrecked it.
I don't buy that story about everything being the Decepticons' fault. I mean, after all, the Autobots did their share of fighting, too.
Because they had to, not because they wanted to. And are you forgetting that it's because of the Decepticons that we're stuck here?
Yeah, well, this place ain't so bad.
I'll say it's beautiful.
This conveniently lets them watch the rise of the Decepticon faction and see Megatron gun down some civilians.
Out of my way, Swall!
Leave him alone!
Ariel, no!
You monster!
Hauling the casualties off for repairs, they encounter some old dude and end up participating in the creation of Optimus Prime, who sets off to kick ass and take faces.
If that young robot needs repairs, I suggest you take him to the next city.
Oh, you gotta help.
Take a look inside. They've been pouring in since this morning. I had been developing a way to rebuild our robots to fight the Decepticons, but now...
Please, just take a look at him.
I do detect a strong spirit within him. I tell you what, I'm going to attempt to rebuild him entirely.
All right!
He's not the only one. There are others back at the hangar, his girlfriend Ariel.
Please, one at a time. Perhaps I can help her too, if my plans work. Well, it's finished. You may not recognize him. He is no longer Orion Pax. Now he is the first of our new defenders, Optimus Prime.
I was wrong, my friends. I admired Megatron merely because he was powerful. I failed to see how he used that power.
It's okay. We've all made the same mistake.
Having learned their valuable lesson for the day, the Aerialbots get to go home to the distant future of 1985.
Hey, what happened to you guys in the past, anyway?
Ah, not much. We learned a few things about Megatron. And about you, Optimus Prime. Or, should I say, Orion Pax?
You? So you five were the ones who saved me.
Would somebody tell me what in blazes this is all about?
Ask Optimus Prime. He knows.
All right. Spill it before I go crazy.
Well, it all began about 9 million years ago.
Oh, great. It's gonna be one of those long stories.
I guess there's a little bit more to the episode than that.
Well, I don't know, though. I mean, that was pretty close. I mean,
you would have had lots of fun writing that, I'm sure.
I mean, you know, the thing that precedes this is that, you know, the Aerobots and the Stunticons had just been created in that two-part key to Vector Sigma.
And they address that in the dialogue of the episode, saying the Aerobots are still only a few weeks old. They don't really know what the war is about. It kind of goes back to what we talked about during Transmutate with that Silverbolt being young and naive and not really getting how Cybertronian society works in general. So, I mean, you get that here again, and it's like, so what's so bad about the Decepticons anyway? Sure, Starscream just tried to dump a couple dozen humans out of his undercarriage, but that's not so bad, right?
They were just world leaders.
They're inferior to us. Why are we protecting them anyhow?
I think it typifies something that is the first time that that's sort of addressed in this series, which is when you have, you know, completely new beings that are brought online. You know, we have a lot of characters that are added to the series, but they're considered to be, you know, Cybertronians that end up rejoining the war once the sort of bridge between Earth and Cybertron is made a little more solid. But this is different for the Aerobots because they are literally new beings. They just came online. So,
and
it ends up being a two-part, a dual effect, because the Aerobots sort of become point of view characters for us as we're able to see, you know, this early period and the beginnings of the war as well.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it's another thing, too, that, like, Optimus Prime's compassion toward weaker beings leads him to want to protect Earth from the Decepticons. And everybody else has the experience to know that his judgment is right, but the Aerobots are just, like, they're still trying to find their own way with this, and they don't know to trust. They don't really know whose judgment to trust yet in place of their own, while they still figure out themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, for the most part, it's just like a lot of G1 episodes where there's not a lot of depth per se. Although
I think there's a little bit more than average with this episode.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. The real depth in this comes from some of the things that became parts of the long-standing lore, in particular the Orion Pax piece of the episode, where it's established that, you know, Optimus Prime had a pre-Optimus Prime form, and that was Orion Pax. Now, that's been used in different ways in different fiction.
Right.
You know, and in this, we see it where he was rebuilt into Optimus Prime. This is way predates any kind of concept that, like, Prime is a title that's passed down. We don't get that really. Well, really, we don't get that, I guess, until Rodimus. But
pretty much.
But, you know, it at least establishes that character had a preform. And then leads to the speculation of, well, is Dion someone, or, you know, because we later, I think it was previous to this that we had met Alita One, and so they, they had set up that, whatever her name was, Ariel, was rebuilt into Alita One. So
this is before Little Mermaid. So, you know,
right.
They had nothing to do with that.
Right.
this is the third appearance of Alpha Trion in the second season.
Yeah.
And we met Alita One in his first appearance episode close to the beginning of the season, if I remember right.
Yeah, that was, what, Search for Alpha Trion, I think?
Conveniently enough, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And I just wanted to say that, you know, not having watched G1 in a little while, it is so nice to hear Peter Cullen do an Optimus Prime that doesn't sound like somebody's lethargic grandpa.
Yeah.
There's just a little bit more life to it, and a little bit more action. We've gotten a little bit too deep into the old, you know, the wisdom and grace and power kind of thing. It's just nice to hear him in more of an action hero mode again. I miss that.
Yeah, you lose that bit where, you know, I think a lot of that original Optimus Prime was really meant to be more of sort of this a John Wayne, mm-hmm. you know, sort of character, and now he's become like, what if John Wayne became Batman? And you know,
I don't even think it's that really. I mean, in the modern Optimus Prime, I don't really see that John Wayne value anymore, and I don't really see a Batman-ness to him either. He's just the old experienced leader.
Yeah. I was just talking about adding the gruffness. It's like, you know, whatever plus gruffness equals, you know.
Yeah. Well, new things. I mean, at some point along the way, the portrayal of Optimus Prime changed from action hero to grizzled veterans.
Yeah.
And it's not really for the better, I don't think.
Nah.
No.
Except for in the movies where he's, you know, sociopath veteran.
Right. Yes. Sociopathic. Getting faces, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's never going to go away.
Animated, you know, kind of tried to play him that, you know, I'm learning type of character, too.
But so that wasn't like a Peter Cullen version.
But it wasn't Peter Cullen, exactly.
No, that was more of a adapting Optimus Primal to Optimus Prime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because at the start of Beast Wars, it was very much the same situation. An inexperienced new commander put in a bad, isolated situation.
Right.
Well, just to put it out there, I don't know if you want to cut it off or whatever, but in Transformers Prime, when he turned back into Orion Pax, what were you guys' views of that? Where he, I mean, it sounded like it was kind of refreshing to hear Peter Cullen play an uncertain Orion Pax. I don't know if you guys did or not. Did this agree with that or not? But
I caught the uncertainty. Yeah, there was some change to the portrayal. You know, I could see what was being gone for there. I would have, you know, again, I guess just, you know, at the man's age, with all respect, it's a little bit hard for him to play younger exactly.
But
well, see, that kind of works too, because if you assume that there is some sort of aging process in Transformers, which is long portrayed as something analogous to that, you know, mm-hmm. it is still the old Optimus Prime, but his mindset is back to his inexperienced days where he's not that sure. So he's not going to sound like a young person, but he's going to talk younger and think younger.
Right.
Yeah.
No, it still kind of works.
Okay, so in the chat we learned a couple of things during the break. One, JD does not get Transformers.
And two, don't eat sour cream at JD's house.
Actually, going back to the JD doesn't get Transformers thing, go to our YouTube channel and watch his review of Fighter Flea. he's like, whatever. Oh, JD, we love you.
I did see JD take a picture of himself. Whatever.
Yes, we love you. Phil, Skyjammer from ASMZine.com, our good buddy Phil, had mentioned that Dark Energon Wheeljack is Slicer. That is totally true. So I will actually now buy that on that recommendation. So I love that. And Paul had also mentioned that if they changed the subline from Dark Energon to Transformer Zombies, that it would sell better. And that is a great observation.
That is so smart.
Is it not? Is that not fantastic?
Oh my god. I would buy those right now.
Definitely. That's great. So I love that.
Now, if they change the subline to Transformers Babies, it'd be even better.
Actually, they could just change Botshots to Transformers Babies.
Yeah.
That could work.
Yeah. So I mentioned at the beginning of the show that I read Regeneration 81. I'm not going to give any type of review on it, but I'll say if you like More Than Meets the Eye or Robots in Disguise by IDW, and that's like your first exposure to Transformers, you may not want to read it. But if you like are an ardent G1 fan and you really love the Furman stuff, if the Furman stuff is the Transformers comic to you, pick it up. has a nice little ending that I really dug. So, so it's going somewhere. But the characterization is not quite what a newer fan would expect. So, Paul's like, huge thanks for the shout out, Brian. It only took 12 years. I'm sorry. I know. I'm a terrible person. I really am. Let's see here.
So one thing we forgot to talk about in the SDCC coverage, Linkin Park Soundwave.
Yeah, let me pull that up real quick. Because it's hideous.
Everybody, get your goggles.
Yeah, it's bad. Where my mind is erasing it from. Oh God, here it is.
Actually, we have live photos as well. So
it's
if you go to the end of the gallery under that under the panel report, we have live pictures of it in a case, and it feels like they just dipped it in like gold plating and just can't.
Is this thing going to be released, or is this like just for display at the con?
I don't know.
It's real. I think you can. It's commissioned by Linkin Park, so gold plating things and crying easily match.
I mean, I guess if it had like a place to put a chain on it so that I could wear it, it would not be so awful. And I would wear that. I mean, don't get me wrong.
You're not just gonna carry it, like.
It's a little small for that, and I think
you would need Linkin Park Blaster to do that with.
Yeah, that would work. That would work. The problem is Blaster is not as recognizable. Not as recognizably Transformers, anyway.
I think if they figured out a way, gold
like that, who cares?
Exactly.
I think if they figured out a way not to make it gold, it would all be okay.
Yeah, okay.
It wasn't gold. Everything would be
gold. What you're saying is it would be an okay toy if it wasn't gold-plated.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
We'll think about getting somebody on that. Maybe we can get in a nice shade of blue instead.
Yeah, so don't forget that this weekend, which will be July 14th, Saturday, we will have live coverage of San Diego Comic-Con starting at, I'm thinking, about 12 noon Eastern time, Eastern Daylight Time. So not exactly sure who all will be on that. I know JD will. I think John's going to be on part of the day. Maybe Peter, Chris McFeely, and those guys. For those who watch live, looks like I'll probably have to end up doing the show on Wednesday next week. It's summer, crap comes up. I don't know who will be able to make it on the crew here, but we'll have the show on Wednesday, July 18th, normal time. So
maybe if you're all very lucky, it will be a classic RFC with a very lonely Brian talking to his computer.
Could happen. I can't do the computer stuff like live. That has to all be done in post. I can't type that fast.
I didn't say the computer would be talking back to you. I just said you'd be talking to the computer.
That's totally true. Also, you can find us in all our podcasts, actually, at tfradio.net. We have Superhero Time, which is XV's show. It's a really bad podcast that you...
May the listener beware!
Yeah. Fanboy Versus, Screen View... And New Soundwave. New Soundwave is sort of being pulled back, I think, to a monthly show. John has a new job, so he's a little busy there. You can follow us on Twitter at TF Radio. Fan us on Facebook at facebook.com/TF Radio. We're close to 1,000 fans. Help us push that over. We want to be at 1,000 fans by 2015. So, by 2015.
With your help, we can make it.
With your help, we can make it.
By 2016.
So, oh yeah, Thursday is Batman. Oh crap, that sounds about right. So, yeah.
No, Friday is Batman.
No, Thursday okay. Midnight showing is Batman.
Okay,
Thursday
so midnight. We're yeah. changing the recording night to accommodate Batman.
No,
12 o'clock Friday. 12 a.m. Friday.
Yeah, it's a chance to get up to with a friend who I haven't seen in years, months, but years. But also now it's to see Batman. So, yeah,
it's gonna be terrible. to be the worst.
Can't help it. Can't help it. Also, YouTube, you can find us at youtube.com/user/TF Radio Network. I wonder if I can change that. That's just so much. That's so hard to say.
Plus, the way you said it so quickly, it made it sound like
I user. Speak really quickly. I can't help it.
No, it made it sound like you said
you
user.
Yeah, I could do like a bit.ly or something, or I could just like,
yeah.
I can do like a link off of our webpage, like tfradio.net/YouTube. I should
do
that.
Didn't you actually used to have that?
I probably haven't. It's probably still set up. I probably just have to go back and find it.
No, we had tfvideo.net. That's what we did.
Yeah, but that doesn't go to YouTube.
Wait, you actually don't need to type in user anymore.
Yeah, I mean, when I do it, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
It works just now.
YouTube's a little spastic. Give them a break.
Yes. And, of course, you can watch us live at tfradio.net/live. You guys have anything that you need to share with the viewers and listeners out there?
You know, Rob has a really great Japanese gaming blog.
Yes, he does.
Yes. It is called Flailthroughs. We play games in Japanese. We don't read Japanese. I'm working my way almost all the way through Ogre Battle at the moment on Super Famicom, and I've been doing videos of the new free-to-play Gundam Battle Operation on PSN. So,
that's
pretty decent game. Well, it's great. It's good for the price, is the best I can say about it off the top of my head.
I mentioned this on Facebook yesterday, and I want to rehash it here. There's a game similar to that I'm sort of making my way through, even though I don't understand it. It's called Wizards and Warriors for the Nintendo Entertainment System, and it was produced by Rare. You know, as a kid, I actually finished that game, but there's no explanation of the point or purpose of the game. It's just basically a random series of beeps and boops, and you're a guy running around with a sword waving it at things. You don't even have to wave it to kill stuff. I don't get it, and I don't know if I got it as a kid. I know I finished it, but it's surreal. I was playing it on my Famiclone. I picked up a Retron 1 because both my NESs died, which makes me very sad. Word to the wise, the Retron 1 works great, but it weighs like nothing. So it feels like it's going to break every time you use it. If you don't have an NES and you want one, pay $15-$20 and get a Famiclone. It will work. If it works for a year, you know, you've got your use out of it. So, okay, that's RSC for this week. For the guys, thank you very much for being here. For our listeners and viewers, thank you. We love you. And we mean that. We're not just saying it. We love you. Yes. Okay, so we'll be back next week on Wednesday because of Batman and my friend Peter, but mostly Batman. So, see you later. Bye!
Bye.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. Copyright 2012 TF Radio Network.